So we're going to begin with reading Psalm 121. The reason I want to bring this psalm is that I know that many here, like everyone all over the world, is really concerned about Israel and Palestine and what's happening in the Middle East, and rightly so. These are great concerns. But I know a lot of Christians really identify with Israel and are worried about Israel. And I just want to read this psalm to assure you that God has not left Israel, that he's still with them, he's still here with us, he still exists, he's still powerful, he's still amazing, even though bad things happen. Psalm 121. I lift up my eyes to the mountains. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. He will not let your foot slip. He who watches over you will not slumber. Indeed, he who watches over Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord watches over you. The Lord is the shade at your right hand. The sun will not harm you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all harm. He will watch over your life. The Lord will watch over your coming and your going, both now and forevermore. We have a faithful, reliable, dependable God, which is kind of hard to fathom when we see the destruction and the crimes and the horrible executions going on in the Middle East. You know, I know Jeff and Beres are really concerned about their friends at a hospital in Gaza, which has been bombed. There's a lot going on and a lot of personal devastation in all of us in what's going on, except for those terrorists, of course. Do you know what they say? They say, we love death as much as the Jews love life. And they want to see all Christians and all Jews annihilated, dead. But God has a plan for his people. And I want you to be encouraged by the looking back at Israel's history. They survived 400 years in slavery in Israel. They have survived two mass destructions, multiple deportations, many dispersions, a Holocaust, the war of 1948, 1967, 1973, and another war today. Even though we might wonder why God allows it and where he is in all this, we trust him because he is God. He will bring all things under his control someday, because the God of Israel neither slumbers nor sleeps, and he will get them through. So when you see these things take place, scriptures tell us, lift your eyes. Lift your eyes because your redemption draws near. Lift your eyes to the Lord and pray. And so I don't want to say anything more about that today, but I do want us to pray. Let us pray, and then we'll move into the Lamentations reading. Lord, we pray for peace in Jerusalem. We pray for stability in the Middle East. We pray for Jews and Christians who are persecuted all over the world. We pray for families who've lost loved ones in attacks. And we pray for the hospital in Gaza operating with such little supply of anything they need. We pray for all who have lost homes and are displaced, and especially for all those being held hostage. We pray for a swift end to this conflict and for stability in that region. We pray for wisdom for the leaders in Israel and all around the world. Please help us to stay informed with only reliable news sources. Help us to stay strong by learning from you and holding to your word. Help us keep our eyes on you. Enable us to glean hope and encouragement from your word today and every day. Amen. And so in our Bible passage, in Lamentations 3, wow, can you feel Jeremiah's lament? This was the year of 586 BC. The whole of Jerusalem had been destroyed. Many were taken off as captives to Babylon. They're in exile. There's a few left in the city. And Jeremiah is lamenting over the sins of these people, which led to that destruction. And also the situation that they're in now, in their dire, devastating circumstances in the aftermath of war. He's overwhelmed with deep sorrow. You can hear that anguish, lament after lament after lament after lament, until he finally remembers the Lord is faithful. The Lord is still God, and he turns to him. And what he remembers about the Lord is amazing things about God's character, things that don't change. God is still God. God is still faithful. He is still loving. He is still merciful. These three things of God's character remain unchanging. And we see them time and time again repeated throughout the scriptures, how many people just know this is who the Lord is. When the Lord passed before Moses, he said, "He is the Lord, merciful and compassionate, faithful. He is the Lord." And so today I want us to think about these things in the desolation of the situation of Israel now, of Israel back then when Jeremiah was writing, how we can turn to God, put our eyes on him and trust him in his hesed love. That phrase, that love phrase, because of the Lord's great love, in Hebrew is hesed. That is an amazing action love. It's not just a feeling. It's not just a fluffy thoughtfulness that, you know, God just up in heaven and says, "Oh, I love you." There. Hesed is an action, shown in action. It's a love shown in action. It's amazing. It's said about 200 times in the Old Testament, and we actually don't have an English translation for that word. It's a love that we don't even fathom in its fullness, that we can't describe. But we know God is love. We know that love is part of his character. And if we can see it in God and know his love, we'll get such a glimpse of his steadfast love, of this covenant-keeping God. It's an unwavering love. It doesn't change. It is constant and reliable. His compassions never fail. That's his mercy. Mercy, the other part of God's character, which we need to remember in times when we, you know, feel like we're punished for our sins, or others are, or there's things going on and we ask why. We turn to God for his love and for his mercy. That mercy is compassion. It's a compassionate mercy. That's a better translation. It's a kind of mercy that does good to your neighbour when it's in your power to do harm and they really deserve harm. It's actually a giving of oneself, not what they rightfully deserve, but a grace. A beautiful gift. Jesus did that for us. He didn't give us the penalty our sins deserve. He took that for us on the cross so we can receive God's mercy. He paid the price. We get the forgiveness and the compassion and the mercy that we don't deserve. And the third thing, his faithfulness. Three parts of God's character: his love, his compassion or mercy, and his faithfulness. This is part of his hesed love, that it's unwavering, it doesn't change. And he allows us to suffer for a time, just those in Israel, but us too. We all know suffering in our lives, do we not? And that's when we remember God, he will bring you through. He is faithful. His suffering will not last forever. It's only for a time, and joy comes in the morning. Whether that morning is in the next life or this, I know that sometimes we wonder whenever there will be relief from the suffering, but it will end. And that is why we can put our hope in God, because of his great love, because of his mercy and compassions, and because of his faithfulness. And if you see in that verse, there are three things that they never fail. They never fail, they never end, they are permanent. And we are assured of that. So we can put our hope in the God who delivers such things for us. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The next verse, which isn't on the screen, the Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore, I will hope in him. That word portion, the Lord is my portion, was the same word used for the tribes of Israel being allocated a portion of land, allotted a bit of land. But the Lord is our portion. The person writing says, Jeremiah is saying, the Lord is my portion. And we get to say the same today. The Lord is my right to claim. The Lord is ours. The Lord is my portion. He has given himself to us. And we can rightfully claim his promises, live in his love, rejoice in his faithfulness, knowing that these things will never fail because he has promised these things to us. And so in our own darkest laments, in our own darkest times, remember these things and cry out to the Lord because these things will give us hope even in the darkest times. The gracious, steadfast character of God brings us hope and he never changes. Those mercies never come to an end. Great is his faithfulness. We rejoice in this, don't we? Because we too deserve punishment for our sins. You know, the Jeremiah in Lamentations was saying, we deserve this. Jeremiah had warned the nation of Israel so many times over and over again, like, repent, repent. You're not worshipping the Lord. You're not serving the Lord. You're not loving one another. You're hating your brothers. You're not looking after the things that God has told you to do. And he warned them again and again and again. And how he says, you got what you deserved, but I grieve over that. And he calls them back to repent. We see just towards the end of what Stuart read. It says, why should the living complain when punished for their sins? Let us examine our ways and test them. And let us return to the Lord. Let us lift up our hearts and our hands to God in heaven and say, we have sinned and rebelled, and you have not forgiven. But we know that God sent Jesus Christ as the Saviour, which was promised in that reading as well. We wait for the Saviour. The Lord sent the Saviour, Jesus Christ. We are so blessed to live on the other side of that, because we know that that forgiveness is readily available. Sitting there waiting just to give to you as soon as you return to the Lord. And he's waiting. He's like the father of the prodigal son. That son didn't deserve forgiveness when he came home. He took all his wealth and squandered it and lived a truly disgusting lifestyle. But he came back to the father, and the father just runs and embraces him and has compassion. Compassion of the Lord, love of the Lord, faithfulness of the Lord. It doesn't change. He says, come. Come, receive the forgiveness. And God says the same thing to us today, and to Israel, and to Palestine, to all people. Come, return to the Lord. Let us return to the Lord. Let us examine our ways and test them. And that's why I'm glad that we get to gather in church every week, and we, as we prepare to take Holy Communion, we confess our sins. And it's in a very traditional Anglican way. It's very Anglican to confess our sins together in a corporate prayer. And I think that's a privilege and a blessing. But we also need to do that personal repentance at home too, not just on Sunday. We need to come before the Lord and keep short accounts, knowing he loves us, knowing that he will not fail us. He won't give up on us. He will give us mercy. He will remain faithful no matter what we do. And we can receive that forgiveness on a daily basis, because he wants us to come back and repent. And his mercies are new every morning. They are always ready. We can think we've ruined everything so badly, it can't recover from this. But that's when we remember it's God's faithfulness, not our righteousness. It's the righteousness that he provides that we can start new every day. So return to the Lord, my friends. Be honest and serious. Take an examination of your lives before God. Think about when you've departed from his ways. Come trembling before him, as Hosea would say. And we can come confidently because we know God is compassionate and merciful and loving, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness. So let us recognise our own sins and transgressions and grieve for those. Throw them off, repent and return to the Lord. So we can learn from our ancestors' mistakes. We don't need to be like Israel back in Jeremiah's day. We have opportunity to repent before it gets that bad. So let us confess our sins, knowing that that the Lord is good to those who hope in him. We look to him, we lift up our eyes, and we return to him. So I'm going to give you a minute's silence just to reflect on your own personal walk with the Lord. Are you living in his love and faithfulness and knowing the goodness of God in your life? Is there any area of your being that you need to repent of? Is there anything you need to bring before the Lord? Have you been going your wayward ways? He's saying to you, come back onto the narrow road. Take a moment and then we'll do a corporate confession.